praise. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we did last week, and I got a pretty good report from my man, Big Sex. He said, you know, he liked that we started with the Word first, and it was good because towards the end, everybody, I guess, they felt so good by the Word that they really worshiped. And not that we're trying something new, it's just. But I want you guys to listen with all your heart tonight, please. I beg you. I don't preach very long. I don't have that kind of mind to preach that long. I can't remember that much stuff. So I just ask, I want to help you so much in your walk with God. If you just listen, I beg you to listen tonight. I won't preach long, I promise. Maybe 30 minutes at the most, then we'll worship. I've been gone on and off. Week gone, week here. How many of you work with computers here? Or know a little bit about computers? Okay. How many of you know what a drop-down box is? Okay, everybody knows what a drop-down box is? Everybody okay? Well, all I've heard for 3 weeks of training in Orlando, that's why we haven't been having church, because I was gone and Alex was gone and Renee was scared to preach. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. Right, Alex? No comment? But a drop-down box, I've heard that for the last 3 weeks. And a drop-down box is what? Can somebody stand up and explain to everybody what a drop-down box is? Alex, stand up. Thank you for volunteering. I turn around and face the crowd.
Pretty much a drop-down box. Whenever you click, you ever see when you click on the small arrow and then a bunch of selection come down? So that's what's considered a drop-down box.
Exactly right. I mean, actually, he explained it to a T because I got my way out of it because I could explain it. So, but he did a great job. So you hit a certain topic, and then you have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different selections or choices to choose from on that topic. And I heard that so many times the last 3 weeks. Just hit your drop-down box. And I just got so tired. I said, man, could you repeat that, please? I said, hit your drop-down box. My what? I just hated hearing it over and over again. And it brought me to this. I think I try to, you know, I got a little house and a lot of kids. I don't know if you've known. And how many of you know that when you got a little house and a lot of kids, that sometimes there's tension in the house with the kids? No, right? But that'll be done. Never. I'm lying. You know, either it's this kid and that kid, or never the same two. They're always, people just got to fight. You know, and that's just, it's not part of life. It's just part of what's in us, really, because in God's kingdom, really, there's no fighting. But I beg you to listen to me tonight, because I really want to help you in your walk with God. The book of Proverbs has taught me so much. So you give your life to Jesus. You give your life to Jesus. Most of us, I believe we all have. We've given our life to Jesus. We've confessed Him as Lord. But how many of you know that that's just the beginning of a journey into Him? You know, if you get born again, let's say you've chosen Jesus as your topic. So once you choose Jesus, there's a drop-down box. There's so many selections and things that we must do that pertain to the main topic, which is Jesus. I want to learn from the greatest man on the face of this earth, and His name is Jesus. I want to minister God's Word like Jesus did. If I can stay focused like Jesus did and preach what He taught to people, then I'm going to make it as a preacher. But our topic today is Jesus. So we're left clicking on Jesus, and there's a drop-down box. In the drop-down box, there's several selections to choose from. And the selections that are in that drop-down box are different ways that me and you should live our lives. Notice I put me in there, because I'm far from being perfect. And I try to teach my family and I try to teach my wife. You know, I didn't know Deidrin. I didn't know Deidrin. When did I send you that text? And when, remember when it was? The first text I ever sent you? 8th grade. I saw him walking. I had never seen him before. And the Lord put it in my heart. I didn't even know him. I've never even talked to him before. And I sent him a text. What do you remember what the text was, Dee? Something about the God. Anyway, the Lord had me send him a text, and I sent him a text. I didn't even know who he was. He was eighth grade little big snotty nosed kid. But something went out in my heart for him. And I didn't even know him. You know, I didn't even know he was a football player. He was nothing really, eighth grader. Just all Quentin told me he was mean as hell. That's what Quentin told me. So, oh, Dad, he's mean as hell. Dad, you better leave him alone, Dad. He's mean. That's what Quentin told me. So I text Deidre and ever since that day, we became real close. And if I'm close to several kids, I'm real close to Mackenzie, to Mackerel, to Jackie, Renee and Alex, they don't even count. But I'm real close to him. But when my wife prepares dinner, she prepares dinner for him. If he's not there to eat, she says, where's Deidre at? He's just not on purpose. It's just something was just there with us. And one thing I try to teach my family in life, and it's part of the drop-down box as far as being a believer of Jesus Christ, and Proverbs will teach you so much. You see, let's say, I'm going to teach Proverbs to you a little bit, not much, just a few verses. Sometimes we think we know everything, Christians, especially parents. We think we know everything about our kids. And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. We hear one kid complain. One kid comes and tells you what the other sibling did to him, or what the sibling or what the sister or brother said to them. But what they'll never tell you is what they said to the other sibling. And I try to teach my wife, but in life, there's two sides to every single story. You can't drop down box Jesus topic, drop down box selection. In life, you have to hear both sides of every story, no matter how guilty somebody looks. Because the obvious isn't always the obvious. But sometimes the obvious is the obvious. So what do you do according to the Bible? This is what you do. Listen here. Listen to this real quick. And we think we know everything as parents. We got certain kids that are in trouble a lot, and we think our other kids aren't capable of certain things. But Proverbs tells us something so powerful. Topic Jesus. Left click. Drop down box. Selections. This is what Proverbs tells us. He said, he who answers a matter before he hears it. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is foolishness and shame to him. Guys, in life, you don't know everything. As a matter of fact, you don't know 90% of what you think you know. This is the way that the world system works. I'm real close to Deidre. I'm real close to Mackerel, McKenzie. They're close. I'm close to Eddie. I'm close to them boys. I'm just close. They just come to the house. If I didn't pray much, if I didn't know God's word, if I heard something bad about Mackerel, as close as he is to me and my family, what would be the first thing that I'd do regarding that situation, that rumor? I would tend to what? I tend to believe that he was innocent. I would say, no, not Mackerel. No, sir, don't you say that again. Because I know him and I'm close to him. But Proverbs tells me, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it's a fool and a shame to him. In life, we don't know everything. We might think we know everything. You'll make a decision in a situation based on how much you love that person. Even if that person is guilty, if you love that person a lot, you're going to go that person's way. But the Bible says, drop down box says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it's fool. You're a fool and it's a shame to you. Now let me teach you this in life with your kids, with everyday application. Don't base your answer, or don't base your belief on hearing one side of the story. Hear both. You'd be surprised at how far you can get when you give both parties a chance to explain their situation. And 9 times out of 10, when you look in that person's eyes, you'll know if they're telling you the truth. You know why? Because when a person's guilty, the first thing they'll do is defend themselves. Remember that. We had a situation in my house last night. We had a family circle of trust meeting. A bunch of accusations were made against each other. One accusation was made against one of my kids. No, I didn't. I knew right there he did. Because if you didn't do it, then there's nothing there to defend. And you'll say nothing. A guilty person will always give themselves away. I said, son, did you? No, I didn't. I said, wait a minute. You're not in trouble. You're not going to get a spanking. Guess what they said? I did it. See, the brothers told me that the sister was being mean to one of their brothers. Well, the sister said this to our brother. I asked the sister. She said, yes, but did they tell you what the brother said to me? I said, no, they didn't. I heard both sides of the story. Both parties were guilty. Unless you're God, and I know you're not, in life, hear both sides of every story. Don't listen to me. Listen to the selection in the drop-down box. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is foolishness and a shame to him. Parents, we need to realize that with all our heart, that we don't know everything about our kids. Topic: Jesus. Left click, drop down box. Another thing that Proverbs teaches me. Listen to this now. Another topic. Proverbs 15. A soft answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Listen, it's okay, so you're arguing with somebody. Somebody wants to argue with you. Jesus, left click, drop down box, selection. Selection is a soft answer. Let's say me and Deidre are arguing. I know he wants to fight me. He better not, but I light Deidre up, boy. I don't play. Deidre wants to fight me. I'm a developed Christian in God's word. Deidre wants to fight me for something I didn't even do. He just heard. Now, there's nothing between me. I'm just using that as an example. There's nothing between me and Deidre. But he heard that I said, because he didn't hear what? Both sides of the story. Somebody whispered something in his ear that I said about him. He heard that side, passed judgment, and wanted to beat me up for something I didn't even say. Many times that's how life works. We live off of rumors, man. We live off of rumors. Hear both sides of the story. Deidre wants to beat me up. Topic: Jesus, Gina. Drop down box selection. A soft answer. Deidre wants to beat me up. And Mackenzie and Macro said, man, you better watch out. Deidre wants to beat you up. So I pray. I said, Lord, I don't know what I did to my son, to my brother, but I ask that you give me wisdom, Father, regarding this situation. The Proverbs says a soft answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Deidre comes to me, and I'm going to follow the scripture. It said a soft answer turns away anger. Deidre comes to me in a rage. He wants to fight me. Now, if I get smart with him and respond to him in an angry manner, I'm going to intensify the situation. I'm probably going to get whooped. Well, come on, what you going to do, big man? Boom! He gives me a concussion. Knocks me out. Because he was mad. I was mad. I respond to his anger with a word filled of anger. Don't get mad, dummy. You did the wrong thing. Proverbs says, a soft answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up anger. He's already mad at me. Proverbs tells me, topic Jesus, left click, drop down box to when he approaches me with his anger, approach him with a soft answer, full of love and grace. I heard you talking about me, Homer, Deidre. I don't know what they told you, but you know my what I stand for, Deidre. You know I love you with all my heart. All of a sudden, that anger inside of him, it calms down because of a soft word that I said to him. A soft answer. An answer filled with love and grace. It turns away anger. But a harsh word, it stirs up even the anger that's in him already. Somebody talks to you in a rude manner, our first thing that we want to do. You talk to me bad, I'm going to what? I'm going to talk to you bad. And then there's a tension. And then there's a quarrel. And then there's an offense. But the drop-down box said, a soft answer turns away wrath. There's so many things in Christian 101 that we need to learn that we can just incorporate and just be quick to listen to God's instruction. He said, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, we could just listen to God's word on a consistent basis. We wouldn't be in trouble all the time. Another thing that Proverbs teaches me, I'm just going back and forth the verse. Listen to this. If I can find it, I hope I can find it. It's easy. Listen to what Proverbs says here. It's honorable for a man to stop striving. Since any fool, Proverbs 20 and 3, it's honorable for a man to stop striving, for any fool can start a fight. Listen to that carefully, Proverbs 20 and 3. It's honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. Somebody wants to argue with you. Somebody's talking about you. They want your response back. They want you to fire back at them. So they got a reason to fight you. Topic Jesus, left click, drop down box. God gives us instruction. He says anybody. He says any fool can strive. Any fool can argue. Any fool can cause a contention. Anybody can do it. But it takes a man or a woman of God to cease and stop that quarrel. And therefore, he said, anybody with a half brain can start a fight. Anybody can argue with anybody. Anybody can hate anybody. Anybody can talk about anybody. But it takes a man or a woman of God to stop that contention. To stop that quarrel. Topic Jesus, left click, drop down box. Any fool can start an argument. Any fool can. But it takes a man or a woman of God to cease that contention. Anybody can respond back to an accusation. That's the easy, ungodly thing to do. I'm going to respond to that accusation. So don't get mad if you're in a mess, if all this instruction from the Bible is given to me and you, for me and you to walk in it. Listen to this. Another illustration from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 17:27-28. Proverbs 17:27-28. Listen to this now. Listen to this. Topic what? Topic Jesus. Left click, drop down box. Our selections. Listen to this. He who has knowledge spares his words. A man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Listen to this here. Listen to this. Even a fool. You know what a fool is according to the book of Proverbs? You know what a fool is? A fool is a person who has no concept of who God is because he lacks God's word in his soul. A fool is someone who has no concept of who God is because he is so empty of God's word inside his soul. But listen to what Proverbs says to me and you. Topic Jesus, Deidre. Left click, drop down box. This is our selection. Even a fool is counted wise. Listen to this. Even a person that doesn't know anything about God, even a person that has little of God's word in him, maybe none of God's word, he said, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. He shuts his lips. Even a person that doesn't know God, a person that doesn't know God's word, is counted wise when he holds his peace and shuts his lips. We think we have to comment on every single thing. I got in a situation about 10 years ago where some accusations were made. They were 99% of them were false. A little bit was true. My wife knew they weren't true. My pastor knew they weren't true. But my pastor looked at me in the eye. I said, Pastor, you can ask me anything you want, Pastor Brom. Anything you want, you can ask me. And he asked me. And he looked at me in the eye and he said to me, Deidre, because I was real hurt. I didn't think people could be that cruel in life. I didn't think they could be that cruel. He said, if you listen to me. Because I was mad. I was mad. Part of me was mad. I was hurt. I didn't think people could be that mean. He said, if you listen to me, I'll walk you through it. I said, okay, Pastor, I'll submit to you 110%. I submitted. And I walked right through it. I cried at night because people were so harsh and cruel. And I wanted to so many times to lash out. But the Bible says that even a fool is wise when he holds his peace, when he shuts his lips. If we can just learn at times to be quiet and not comment. I'm teaching myself along with me teaching you. If we can just learn to be patient and hear both sides of every single story, no matter how guilty a person seems. Okay, Renea, you want me to help you in this matter? I heard your story. You looked him in the eye, Renee, and you said you weren't lying. Okay, that's fine. I believe you, Renee, but I got to hear Lupus' side, Renee. No, but I'm telling you the truth. Okay, that's fine. Don't get upset. But I got to hear both sides of the matter before I make a judgment on this situation. The Bible says in Proverbs, the heart of the wise teaches his lips. It's not when things are going good that the real you comes out. See, I could sit here and have a talk with Gina or Lupita or my wife, and we could feel God's presence and talk real good and quote Bible verses. But that's not who you really are. Who you really are is what comes out of your lips in times of adversity. That's who you are when you're mad. No, let me rephrase. When something is upon you to make you mad, how you react is who you really are. He said, the mouth, the heart of the wise teaches his lips. See, our lips are not the problem. Our lips only speak what's in the heart. So if you cuss somebody when you're mad, there's nothing wrong with your lips. It's that hatred is stored up in your heart. He said, the heart of the wise. Let me go to that scripture real quick. Jesus, drop down box. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. Listen to this. But the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. See, we can talk about Jesus, me and Jelly right now and have a good old time and talk about God. And she'll say all the right things and I'll say all the right things and we'll convince each other that we're great Christians. But when adversity comes, that's when the true colors of a Christian show. He said, the heart of the righteous, it studies how to answer a situation. When there's a situation, a man that's smart, a man that's righteous, a man that's wise, he'll take a deep breath and he'll wait to hear the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, whether to comment on the situation or not to comment on the situation. If the man in adversity spills out an evil report, spills out evil words, that is what he is, an evil person. Who you are in God isn't what we say to each other when things are going good. Who we are in God, it comes to the forefront. It comes to the surface when there is adversity in our life. When you face a trial, when you face a tribulation, that's when you know who you are in God. It's easy to be nice here in church to each other. It's real easy. But let an employee make you mad at work. That's who you are in God. Topic, Jesus, left click, drop down box. Those are our selections. Will we choose to be calm and slow to answer, or will we just spill out at the mouth what we think of the situation? Book of Proverbs again. Last one. This one touched me. Listen to this carefully. And I've made this mistake time and time again in my life. There's always been one person that I felt I had to talk to about situations. How many of you always, there seems to be one person, though you know you're not supposed to say something, but there's always one person that you feel you have to share your heart with. I mean, how many of you got friends like that? Most everybody. And it sounds good, doesn't it? Okay, well, I got to talk to Deidre about this. Man, that dang Elijah, he's making me mad. Come here, D, we got to talk, but I ain't going to talk about Elijah, Deidre, but I got to talk to you. But I ain't want to gossip, Deidre, but I got to talk to you. There always seems to be one person that we have to tell when somebody else sins against us. Been there, done that, right? There always seems to be one person that we got to talk to about somebody else's sin, right or wrong. There always has to be one person that we go to every time we find something out about somebody, right or wrong. Right or wrong, right? Let me tell you what Deidre did, girlfriend. But don't be telling Jelly now, because I ain't one to gossip. Right or wrong? Who's done it before? No matter how you slice it, it's gossip. We just wanted somebody to agree with us. We really and truly wanted somebody to know how terrible that person was. And when I read in Proverbs what the Bible says about that, I cried. Because I've done it a million times. I've done it even to about 6 months ago. Alex, come here, man. You come out. You know, we boys, Alex, you know, grew up in this mess. I got to tell you a little something. Right? Yeah. I'm just going to tell you that. You're not telling nobody, Alex. You know, I trust you with my life. Don't tell nobody. So I can be talking, and now some of the things are real comical. Some of them, a lot of the stuff that we have a great time about, because we work together, me, Lupita, and Alex. It's a great atmosphere. We have a good time. And we joke a lot. But this, we guys are nosy people about guests. I can be talking to Alex about an issue. Lupita can be on the phone talking to the customer. Hold, please. What were y'all saying? She hangs up the phone with it. Okay, we'll get you your gas in 15 minutes. What were y'all saying? Am I right or wrong, Alex? And vice versa. We always seem to have somebody. Come here, Deidre. Man, I got to talk to you, Deidre. I got to talk to you. And I'm guilty. Come here, Deidre. Let me tell you about Jackie. Let me tell you what I heard. And I'm guilty of it. There's always one or two people that we have to tell when we know something about somebody else. Listen to what the Bible says about that. And though it seems like it's like we mean nothing by it, it seems like we mean nothing by it. But in all essence, there's a form of gossip in our hearts and in our spirits. Proverbs tells us, topic Jesus, drop down box selection, Proverbs 17 and 9. He who covers a transgression, or he who covers sin, seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. Listen again. He who covers a sin seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. Even if it seemed like there was no malice. You know why Gina would come to me and talk about Lupita? And there's not, we're just, as an example. What'd you hear, Pastor? What'd you hear? In your business, I can't tell you. You know why Gina would come to me and talk about Lupita? Because Gina somewhat is covering something in her life. And she has to feel better about the situation. You know why Renee would come to me and tell me one of Alex's secrets? Because Renee, in his heart, wants to feel better about something that he's doing. The Bible says, listen to this, he who covers a sin seeks love. He who knows that somebody sins against them and does not repeat that matter, that person is seeking love because he does not want to destroy the one that sinned against them. He who covers sin, he seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates friends. Topic: Jesus. Drop down box, left click. He who covers a transgression or covers a sin, he that doesn't repeat it, that man or woman seeks love. But he who repeats that matter separates friends. And the ear who hears the matter that was repeated about what somebody did is just as guilty as the one that repeated the matter. He who covers a sin, Alex, he who is sinned against and does not repeat the name or the accusation, the person that sinned against him, that person seeks love. That person is a man or woman with a heart after God. That person is a man or woman that wants to hurt nobody. But their eyes and their heart, their mind and their soul are so full of this one man named Jesus Christ. When I hear a young lady talk about another young lady, well, I heard she's fast, I heard she's easy. Do you know what that young lady that talked about the other young lady in front of me, do you know she just gave herself away? Because a person that is truly walking with integrity and righteousness will say nothing. When you judge your brother, when I judge my brother, when you judge your brother, when we judge each other outside of righteousness, we just testified that we have issues. Or like Mexicans would say it, we have issues. But he who covers sin, that man or woman seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. One more. Still early. One more. Yes, last one, I promise. How many of you can tell me what trusting God is? Anybody, lift up your hand and give it a shot. What is trusting God? Somebody says, I trust God with all my heart. Somebody give it a shot. I knew you knew. Hoping you wouldn't say nothing. Proverbs. Topic: Jesus. Left click. drop down box. It takes us to Proverbs 16 and 20. I've heard people cuss up a storm. I've heard people go from spouse to spouse, girlfriend to girlfriend, boyfriend to boyfriend. I've heard people go from here to there, beer after beer, cuss word after cuss word, relationship after relationship, stealing, striving. I heard one guy said one time, "You can't blank with me, I'm a child of God." And he dropped the F-bomb. Ooh. "You can't mess with me, I'm a child of God. I trusted God with all my heart." I trust in God with all my heart. I sleep and dream, Jesus. Okay? Well, let's go to topic Jesus. Left click the drop down box. Let's see what trusting in God means. Proverbs 16 and 20. "He who heeds," or listens, "he who listens to the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." He who hearkens or listens to the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. In context, he said the one that hears God's word and does it wisely, he will find good in his life. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. So in context, what is trusting in the Lord? Hearing and doing his word. If I don't trust, if I don't hear and do his word, then there is no trust of God in my life. I'm believing God for a miracle. Did you say that before or after the second six pack? I trust in God with all my heart. Oh God, I believe you're going to come and do it in my life. Was that before Friday or Saturday or afterwards? Trusting God is heeding and listening and applying and doing His Word. A man or woman that habitually obeys God's Word is one that trusts in God. Everything else is just a lie and a remembrance of a scripture. He who hearkens to the word wisely will find good. When whoever trusts in the Lord, Miss Barbara, happy is he. I trust God with all my heart. This is how we weigh and how much we know that we trust God. By how much we obey His word. In other words, by how much we do what is right. The topic, Jesus. Left click, drop down box. The selections were: a righteous person studies how to answer. Selection was: hear a matter before you judge it. Another selection was, any fool can start an argument, but it takes a man or woman of God to cease from quarreling. These are instructions from God's Word, not mine. I want to help you in your walk with God. As the Bible helps me, I want to help you also. Be patient in making decisions. Be careful. Now, there's a difference sometimes when you come to somebody and you want to help a brother. That's different. If Deidrin comes to me and, you know, Alex, he knows, preaches here, and Deidrin heard that Alex is out there drinking, and he sees Alex drinking, and Deidrin comes to me, "Homer, I want to know that." And if Deidrin wants to help Alex and he feels that I should know, there's nothing wrong with that. But when it's to gossip, then there's something wrong with that. If I'm having an affair with another woman and you see me, you better go tell Pastor Bronk. He's not talking about that. But I'll leave you with this last note tonight. He who conceals a sin seeks love. In other words, somebody hurts you, they sin against you. Our dead human nature says, get it off your chest. Go talk with somebody, you deserve it. That's what our dead human nature says, our flesh. But our spirit, where the Spirit of Christ lives, he said, if you hide that sin against you, you seek love. But if you repeat it, Homer, you look to separate friends. I don't know whether you were blessed or not, my friends, but that's good, good teaching on how to live our life. Remember these words, the obvious isn't always the obvious. But sometimes the obvious is the obvious. So how do you know? You hear both sides of the story. You look at them in their eyes. You hear them. Look at them in the eyes and you hear them. And you wait and God will lead you through it, my friend. Just because a guilty person is usually guilty doesn't mean they're always guilty. Sometimes they tell the truth. We got to weigh both sides of every single story. Why? That's how the Bible tells me and you to live. When there's a situation in your life, the Bible says that the heart of a righteous man, it studies how to answer. But the mouth of fools pours out evil. Who you are in God is not how you feel or what you say about God when everything's nice and good. Who you are in God comes out when there's trial and tribulation at the table. See, in church, we're going to always hug each other. Who we are in God is what we do behind closed doors or what we don't do. It's our time, my friends. As believers, then if you start in Proverbs 15 to chapter 20, all that stuff that I just preached tonight is between Proverbs 15 and Proverbs 20. I've read it over and over and over again. It's got some good stuff in there, man. But the one that caught my attention the most, Miriam, was he who covers a sin seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. There's stuff that I know about you, and there's stuff that you know about me. But more than that, he knows everything about me and you. If you repeat my weakness, I repeat your weakness. I'm not seeking love. But if I cover your weakness, if you cover my weakness, then we're seeking love. I don't need to know. Unless there's real care and concern in your life with this person, then yes, gladly, I will sit down and hear you. I don't need to know everybody else's faults. Because I sure the heck don't want you to know mine. A person with that mindset seeks love. But a person that repeats a matter to somebody else about this person, your heart's full of evil. Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, woman, go what? Go sin. And she was a prostitute, my friends. He said, he that is without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. She was a prostitute. And the one man that was qualified to judge her, he what? He did not. Openly. Jesus is our perfect prototype, our perfect example of how to conduct our day-to-day life. Proverbs chapter 15 through Proverbs chapter 20, everything that I discussed with you tonight is there in those books. Good thing about Jesus, man, some of you got baggage. I got baggage. Some of you got weaknesses. I got weaknesses. Some of you got strengths. I got strength. Some of you got certain sins that you're partaking. I got certain sins that I'm partaking. Not the Ten Commandments. I'm keeping them. But there's little things that I do that need improvement. Jesus is not in heaven right now with a legal pad and a cross pen taking note of all your wrongdoing. He is so glad that you are here today to hear His word. He's so proud of you that even the mess that you're in, you're still here tonight to hear His word. But He did tell the lady caught in adultery, though He did not judge her openly, He did tell her, "Hey woman, go and sin no more." He didn't judge her openly of her sin, but He did tell her, "Go and sin no more." He knows what each and every one of us is involved in here tonight. And He's telling me, along with each and every one of you, young man, young woman, go and sin no more. If Jesus told me to cover sin, or not to repeat sin, guess what He doesn't do? It's between you and Him. These last words Jesus tells me and you, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, God Himself, is saying to you tonight in a lovely, warm, passionate voice. No anger in His heart, no malice. He's not mad at you. If He was here, He'd hold you in His arms, even in your mess, and He'd say, "Go and sin no more." Jesus, I've tried. He'd look at you with those eyes of compassion. And He'd look at you and say, "Go and sin no more. But I've tried. Do it again. Pastor Homer, I've tried. Try it again. This time, don't try. Just spend time with Him. Quit trying. Spend time with Him. When you don't feel like it. You want to grow in Christ? Spend time with Him when you don't feel like it. Pray when you don't feel like it. You know what? I'm not going to say nothing else anymore. I believe some of you just want to come up here and just give it all to Jesus tonight in your praise. If you want to cry, cry. If you want to repent, repent. If you want to sit, sit. If you want to kneel, Neil, but I believe you just want to have a confrontation tonight with this one man named Jesus Christ. I believe you want to seek His face tonight. I believe you want to lay it all out at the altar tonight and just tell Him how much you love Him. If you feel like you got to repent, repent. But come tonight cleanly to this altar and give Him everlasting praise and just speak your heart with Him tonight.